I want to let you know that I believe 100%. You see, snow is falling right here. How many know that that 97 through Oregon is, I kept checking, it's about 4,200 feet. That's 1,000 foot higher than Snoqualmie at the summit. Almost all the way through there. And we had dry roads. We did not have a drop of rain. It started raining a little bit when we got into Yakima. There and back. And we had beautiful weather. I'm praising the Lord for that, because we were all geared up to possibly have a 5 hours delay and everything chaining up and all this stuff. And God was so faithful, you know. And it's snowing today. It's like he said, see, I care about the little things. To me, that's a big thing. But some others sitting here may say, that's a little thing. So praise the Lord. Well, let's see. Why don't we just have the men come on up, and we'll just kind of take turns sharing a little bit. Praise God. Yeah, come on up, guys. Is everybody here? Josh, that includes you. What? Yeah. David, come down. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, we were at a three and a half day conference. You have to go to work? Okay. Well, we'll definitely let David go first. Are you going to be able to finish in time before you go to work? We went to what's called a Power and Love Conference, and it is a conference that you learn about God's love, really. It should be called Love and Power. It's that we are empowered by God's love. I don't know if Tom would change the name of his conferences, but it says to me, it seems like it's a love, and then the power flows out of that love that we realize that God has for us and has for others. And so I'm not going to share yet. I'm going to go ahead and let David go first. And, you know, whatever God puts on your heart, brother.
See what comes out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how I can get that conference out in a few minutes. But, I mean, one thing that was really, really laid deep in my heart is, Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. That was just really the big impacting scripture that got to my heart. Was just, I mean, we don't have to rely on ourselves and go out and do things in our own ability. You know, that's how, you know, we wind up burnt out and feeling like failures and rejection and all that kind of stuff. We don't have to be subject to the feelings of ourselves, because if we seek first the kingdom of God, I mean, we will receive the Father's love. And then from that, we're totally free from everything. We're free from... And it might sound crazy to your brain, but we're free from like offense, we're free from rejection, we're free from, I mean, any type of feeling of negativity, because, I mean, that's totally overwhelmed by the love of God. And by being able to not let yourself get in the way of what the Lord has for others and for us, is it's huge. And, I mean, one big thing over this... it continues to stick out in my head. We had this exercise that we had to do. And I was very hesitant to go out. We had to find a partner that we didn't come with. And so I stood up, and sitting around the eight of us, and I was kind of looking around. We sat in the back, so there wasn't a whole lot of people around us, but like across the aisleway was like everybody. So I stood up, and I was kind of looking around and wasn't in like a big rush to go find somebody, because, well, maybe everybody will be taken and I don't have to do this. So it's just a little out of my comfort zone to just approach a stranger and to speak something into their lives. So finally I do, and I see the one person standing up with his hand up, because we're supposed to put our hand up if we didn't have a partner. Well, I was walking around with my hand down, and I was like, And I found it was like a 12 or 13-year-old guy, like boy. And I was like, well, okay, you know, you need a partner, I'll be your partner. And, we were both nervous and scared, and I was scared. I was like, oh, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? Like, I don't want to lie to him. But I just, and the speaker, his name was Bob Hazlett, he, you know, prayed over us and just said, you know, you're a type of person that, and just say what comes to your mind. And so that was the exercise we did, is like speaking into their lives, prophesying into their life of who they are and what God has called them for. And I mean, long story short, the Lord spoke through me to him that he's going to be used to speak to people in a unique way, that people that are lost, people that, you know, having a hard time, people that just don't get it, you know, just really breaking people free of, you know, their own themselves, basically. And then it was his turn, and he was sitting there, legs shaking, hands moving like this, and, you know, it was their turn. Bob prayed over him, and then here he goes. He's like, well, you're the type of person that, you know, you like to finish things, and you really have a heart to just finish stuff, and you're going to do, you know, this. And then all of a sudden, just like something snapped, and like just this confidence and authority just came out of his voice, and he was like, he's like, there's a warrior in you, and you are holding something back. He goes, there's something that's just not letting it free. He was like, it's your personality that's not letting this go, letting this come out. And I was just like, I was like laughing. I mean, and that, those are harsh words for somebody to say, is it's your personality that's letting this stuff stay in. And I was laughing, and just, it was so crazy because it's so true, because I mean, just like, oh, dude, you're so right. Like, I am not mad at you. Like, I love you. That's awesome. Like, cool. Like, tell me, be honest. And I mean, the Lord just came through him in like a strong way. And that actually matches up exactly with something that Stephen shared with me a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, there's something being reserved with your spirit. Like, you're like basically just holding something back with your spirit. And I mean, my spirit just wants to just, wow. But like my flesh is just like, no, like just stop. Don't like share with anybody. But I mean, one of the biggest things was one morning, was it Saturday morning, I think? I woke up and Pastor Mike was reading stuff, and we just started talking, and I just opened up and I told him like, hey, you know, this is something that's going on with me. I've been really feeling like I'm starting to become more introverted, like I'm really not being as outgoing as I once was. And one big thing that came out of that was, I mean, it's just really like, am I focusing on like being an introvert and like what's wrong with me and what's happening? Why am I not sharing with people so much? Why am I not just open as I used to be? And I mean, this is something that's really stuck with me, and I didn't share with Pastor Mike how big of a deal it was. But, I mean, it's really focusing on God. I mean, I know we hear that, but, I mean, it really, something just settled in and sunk in. Like, focus on what's right. Focus on what's been done. Like, Jesus' blood is more than enough to break me out of my little comfort zone in my shell. And, I mean, and that's something that is for each and every one of us. Like, I mean, he has such great and good things for us that it's, I mean, sometimes easy to justify our way out of it, of why we're not called to do that. But I mean, it was just definitely, it was a big weekend, and I could sit up here and talk about it all afternoon, it feels like. But I mean, that's just really what feels like needs to be shared, is, I mean, his blood is definitely more than enough to get you out of whatever you're going through. And it's his love that comes through you that extends to others, and it's really just seeing other people from Christ's eyes. Like, you don't have to look and, you know, judge others or think anything bad about others or just look at them and think nothing, because, I mean, Christ doesn't look at them. Jesus, God doesn't look at everybody and just think nothing. Oh, I'm only going to think of this certain group of people because I know them and I love them and they love me. He sees everybody with love, and it's really just looking at others like that and treating them according, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Who's next? How about James? HGP. The first time we were at a Saturday night prayer, and Brother James was praying and talking about, they, you know, I think somebody was maybe addicted to some you know, type of alcohol or something like that, and you said, they don't need alcohol. And you started praying they needed HGP. And I'm thinking, like, what new drug is that? And is that legal? And then I asked him later, he said, Holy Ghost power. Okay, here we go.
Y'all ready for me to preach?
Oh, come on.
No. I know someday God going to call me to preach that gospel.
That's right.
But I'm going to wait up on him. He'll bring me through. But we had an awesome time down there in Klamath Falls, and let me tell you, boy, the presence of God was in that place for all 4 nights or 3 nights, whatever it was. But for four nights that we was there, and let me tell you, I thought I was going to be so tired, I couldn't get up to move or anything, but God gave me the strength to pull through.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you, it was worth every bit of that to make that trip. And the thing about it, you know, God is who he just overwhelmed my soul, and he spoke life into me again. And I can relate to the same thing David related to, too. I think me and him both end up with a little young boys in our lives to let them prophesy over our souls. And I run into the same situation with a 12-year-old kid. Let me tell you, boy, he spoke power into me. Let me tell you. I said, oh, my God, am I worthy to stand up under this right at this moment with this kid speaking? This kid is awesome, let me tell you. I said to myself, I should have got his phone number or text or whatever and kind of stayed in contact with that young man. But you know, it's the thing. Sometimes we got to get out of the way and let Jesus do what he got to do.
On,
you know, that's what it's about. We got to get out of the way. And one more thing, what happened is challenged my heart is every day we went out to go out and maybe pair up in twos, threes, or whatever. We went out to the little city there and started praying for peoples. So I went into this place, a little dollar store, the big bad dollar store. And let me tell you, it's amazing where God can put you. Let me tell you, he stuck us in the dollar store. He stuck me with a man that's far in another country, a man from South Africa.
Yep.
Oh, my God. And here I am from Little Yakima. Man, they put us together. Let me tell you, we got together in those aisles. And, boy, let me tell you, we run into one lady here. And let me tell you, we was pleading the blood up over that woman. Something about her mom or something had a back problem or whatever. But let me tell you, that South African man and that Yakima man, we prayed deliverance over that woman. God moved in that place, let me tell you. We didn't care about shopping for a dollar or whatever that's in that store. We didn't want that dollar stuff. We want the grace of God to be moved in that place. You know what I'm saying? And they moved in that place. God moved in that place. And I just thank God for that. I love Jesus, let me tell you. You got to love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, something wrong with you. The power of Jesus is overwhelming in our lives today. I said I won't preach, but I don't know. But God's good. He's good. Peoples down there was hungry for God. My God, peoples just, ooh. My God, I couldn't contain it. Could not contain that. But let me tell you, peoples are hungry for God. And I believe in this hour today, we're going to have a rude awakening here. It's coming soon. A rude awakening in this valley. That God's going to set this place on fire that you cannot contain it. I'm going to pass this on down. God bless all of you.
Praise God. Bless you, brother. Praise God.
Well, you're right here, so.
I'm right here.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Well, I wanted to let you guys know I had a blast, and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Just great. We had so much good fellowship, and I've never done anything like this, and I had no idea what to think going into it. I really had no expectations or ideas. I mean, I didn't even really know what it was. I just Josh and Mike said, "Hey, there's this conference. You got to come," and I was like, "All right, I'm in." So. Blind faith in you guys, but they didn't let me down for sure, and God didn't let me down. And people don't often talk about the miracles that God is still working today. We go back into the Old Testament and into the times of Jesus, and we talk about the miracles that he did while he was walking on earth. But we don't often see those miracles happen in our daily lives. And we oftentimes get in the way, kind of like David was saying, we get in the way of God moving through us. And I didn't know what to think. And some of the things that people were talking about happening, like people being healed of pains, and a guy got healed of, he had a lazy eye for 19 years or something, and he did not have a lazy eye anymore.
Yeah.
Crazy, just crazy stuff that with our mind, you know, you think, what are you talking about? You know, and that doesn't happen anymore or something. But let me tell you, God's alive, and he is still doing miracles. He's still performing miracles. It's a miracle that we're here today.
That's right.
Let alone the fact that he can heal the sick. He can heal a broken heart. He can heal any wound, you know. And some of the prophetic words that were brought, I mean, it was amazing to see the power of God flowing through someone so strongly and so deeply, and that, I mean, God's still alive in each of us, and we all have the power to speak prophetic words. We just need to rely on Him.
That's right.
And when we get out of the way and we allow God to move through us, I mean, we're going to see the world change.
Come on, brother.
It's not just going to happen here in Yakima. It's not just in Klamath Falls. There's nothing special about Klamath Falls. But there's something special about each of us, and that's God that's living in us. And if you start bringing that to this community right here, it needs to start right here and right now. And we have no reason to hold back the power of God. We have no reason to not let Him move through us. In fact, we have every reason to move through us, because your life when you met Jesus, it stopped. And He started living through you. So whatever happened before, don't let it get in the way of where God wants to take you. Don't let it get in the way of where He wants to bring you, because He has such an anointing on each and every one of us. His blood was shed for each of us, and we were worth it. God wouldn't have sent His Son here for us if He didn't think that you were worth it, Mario. You know, if He didn't think that any of you were worth it, He wouldn't have done that. So I really left, and I knew that I was a son of God, but I always thought about it like He was authoritarian, you know, like He's up here and kind of just through the law. I didn't ever think, you know, I can sit on His lap, you know, and He can say, good job, son. And He can say, I love you, you know. And one night during worship, I sat down on the floor and God was just like, sit down on my lap, sit down with me. And he just held me. And I got to know His love for me. And I would love to see. I just am waiting to go back to work. I've had this week off. I'm waiting to go back to work and be like, all right, where's it coming, God? Where am I going? Who do you want to talk to? Yeah. Not who do I want to share my testimony with. Who do you want to talk to, God? Where do you want me to move? Where do you want me to go? And, you know, who are you calling me to bring a word to? And when I start doing that, I mean, I was sharing with Mike and David about a time when I was in Zilla. It's like 5 in the morning, and, you know, God had, I don't know what happened, but I just started making fun of someone, not really making fun of her, but poking fun at her for smoking, which is something that, I mean, I smoked for years. And I wasn't in a place of condemning her, but I was just, you know, I don't even know. But anyways, God, you know, leaned on me to pray for her right there, and I didn't take the opportunity to pray for her, but now I'll gladly take the opportunity to pray for her. So that's something that I left with, was just, you know, if God tells you to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
Amen. No reason not to.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm really excited to hear Jay, because I kept saying, Jay, so what happened? Not now. So I'm ready. This is it. Bated breath.
I'm ready. Well, I think it's just because I'm real reserved and I don't want to be a microphone hog. I don't want to take up people's time. God's working on me. He is in that area, among many others. I expected a life-changing experience at this conference. I was going in expecting God to move mightily and expecting my life to be changed drastically, and it has. I know it has, but it's not because I went to a conference. It's because I met with Jesus.
Yeah, come on.
And He revealed Himself to me in a way that was much deeper. I mean, I knew Him before, but now I really know Him, and I want so much more of Him. Gosh, there's so much I feel like I want to say. I just don't even know where to start. I think it was in high school. I was prophesied over 3 different times by 3 different people saying that I was going to be an evangelist and that I was going to be a radical for Christ. And that's what this conference was about, evangelizing. And we were taught by some radical radical Christians. And that is what I want. And many of the things that were taught really solidified in my heart and in me about what God wants me to be. And the way they have this conference set up, Pastor Mike touched on it a little bit. We show up, we praise and we worship. We hear some testimonies. We get taught. And then they kick us out of the building. Literally, they said, get out. We don't want you hanging around and fellowshipping here. Go out and pray for people and evangelize. And don't come back until we unlock the doors. So it was, it was praising, it was teaching, and it was applying. And it was very effective. It was very powerful. And the one of the things that I took, there was so much information, so much good stuff that I learned. But one of the things, and it's very simple, and we already know this, but we have to, I think someone already said it, we have to take ourselves out of the equation. It's not about us. It never has been about us, but we make it about us. And that's what makes it so hard to evangelize. You know, it's about him and it's about them. The people. It's not about us. And it made it so much easier to talk to people knowing that. And we talked to a lot of people. And like James said, the harvest is ripe. People are hungry. They want to know about Christ. We could tell by talking to them, by them opening up with us. I had the opportunity to pray for a young couple who were getting married. They didn't have a date set or anything, but I knew, I said, God, he wants, or not God, I'm sorry, the enemy, he wants to drive a wedge between you guys. And she said, yeah, we're actually struggling right now. So I prayed over them, and I talked to the young man about his station, his obligation, his responsibility about being a priest in his home. And I asked them if they were saved. They said they were. The gal said that she was raised in church. But she was on the worship team, but she got pregnant, and they kicked her off. And I said, I'm so sorry. I said, you're still hurt from that, aren't you? She said, yeah, I am. I said, let's pray. So we prayed for healing, prayed for, you know, that God would help her to forgive those who hurt her. I think Glenn talked about, or maybe it was David, about the offenses, how we can walk in perfect peace with Jesus. We're so afraid of what people think because we make it about us. You know, we think that they're going to reject us when we tell them about Jesus. They're not. They're not rejecting us. And we're afraid that they're going to hurt us by rejecting us. But the truth is, one of the things that we were taught is we should hurt for them when they reject us or when they don't receive whatever it is that we tell them. But the truth is, do we really know if they receive it? Chances are they will. I mean, we're here to plant seeds. And just because we don't, initially right away, maybe we don't see a reaction. You're going to plant a seed. I got to share a story about this guy. We're in the Dollar Tree, dollar store. And every time someone purchased something, they asked if you want to donate a dollar to Toys for Tots. And if you did, they'd get on the loudspeaker and they'd say something like, another toy for Toys for Tots, woohoo! Like that. So you'd hear this wherever you were in the store. So Dennis and I, we were up at the cash register, we bought something, and gave a dollar for Toys for Tots. And I told the girl, I'll do it only if you, you know, do the woohoo thing. And Dennis goes, and say, Jesus loves you. And I'll be honest, I was like, ooh, I don't know if we want to do that, you know. I know. Yeah. So, in the cash register girl, she was, okay, you know, but I could hear Dennis over here keeping on her. Do it, say Jesus loves you. Sure enough, I think I was turning to leave, and I heard this, Jesus loves you, another Toys for Tots, woohoo! I was like, yes. Yes, that was awesome. And even though it sounds kind of silly, you just don't know who needed to just hear that. It could have been someone in the back corner of the store who woke up that morning and said, if I don't get a sign from you, God, I am going to kill myself. That could have been that person's sign, because this young man is hungry for God and he wants to see God move in people. Oh my gosh. God is moving in this guy.
That's right.
And I don't mean to take up a, a lot of time here, but I want to talk about the South African gentleman.
Yeah.
Leon was his name. He happened to be staying in the same hotel, and I also had an opportunity to go out with him and pray for people and evangelize. And I didn't even realize it until on the way to church this morning, I was telling my wife about this guy. Because in the last few months or so, my wife, Kelly, and I have really had hearts, and we've really been talking about going overseas and having the opportunity to go overseas, but we're like, we wouldn't even know where to begin. I mean, how? Even when I got Leon's contact information, it just didn't even sink in. I mean, really, to be honest with you, I was thinking, yeah, I'm going to give him my email, and I'll probably email him once. Hey, what's up, dude? Good to see you. Good to know you. And, you know, that would probably be the extent of our conversing. I don't think it is. In fact, I know it isn't. Just right here this morning, the Lord told me, you're going to go to South Africa. And I simply said, okay. And I started thinking about things, and he's already making the arrangements. I mean, it's already done. But just looking at some of the things in my life, like we're, you know, through the Dave Ramsey thing, our finances are being prepared. I mean, God doesn't need Dave Ramsey to send us. But he's using us.
Right.
He's using Dave Ramsey to get our finances in order so that we can go to South Africa. I know it to be true. I even joked about it with Leon. Because he planted a church in South Africa. And I joked. I said, oh, yeah, I'll come down and preach at your church someday. He's like, oh, yeah, I can take a break, you know. Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
I thought I was joking until God said, yes, you're going to South Africa.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go to South Africa. What else do I want to say? So God just, you know, he opened doors while we were there. He revealed himself, as he does. My identity is I just have a better grip of who I am.
Amen.
Now. And that I can go out there and I can tell people about my God, and because I know that they need to hear the truth.
Yeah.
We should all be wanting, needing, having this desire to go out there to tell people about the truth. Like I said, you don't need to go to a conference to know this. You can meet with Jesus right where you are, and he can have the same type of impact. He can have more of an impact. Hey, where are you guys going? No, I'm just, that's my sister. love you guys.
Love you guys. See ya.
Because Jesus is everywhere. He's here. He's in South Africa. He's in North Africa. He's everywhere. And he wants us to just glorify him. He wants us. He is. He's jealous for us and our time and our resources and everything that we have because, well, he's given us everything that we have. Mm. I think I'm done. But yeah, it was about love.
Yeah.
And I want to be love. I want to love those who persecute me. I want to love those who don't love me in return. And you know what? I even did it this morning. You know, we validate our self-worth by the way people treat us. And I even did it with my one-year-old son this morning, and God reminded me. I was holding him, and I was like, oh, are you glad I'm back, buddy? Are you glad I'm back? I needed him to show me that he was glad that Daddy was back so I could feel good. I said, I'm sorry, son. I just love you. I love you. And that's the way we need to be everywhere we go with everyone we run into. Yeah, so.
Love you, man. All right, Dennis.
Well, just wow. I got to admit, when I first actually got there, I was a little bit nervous. I was like, you know, what if I have to talk to a lot of people and this and that? And then I was like, no, if Jesus wants me to talk to people, if the Lord wants me to, then I will. So you know, I stepped into this conference the first day, and, you know, everyone's usually, you know, just like, yeah. And the days go on, and you can tell that the people are just getting more hungry, and they start yelling, and they just start singing, and they just start dancing, and it's amazing, because, I mean, I started singing and dancing, and, I mean, we were in the back, and around the last days, I decided to move up to the very front, you know, just to get to know people, and I just kind of felt like God wanted me to be up there. So, I mean, there was this mosh pit of people dancing in the front. People were getting pushed around, but, man, it was pretty amazing. And then, God saved two people through me. I didn't choose them. You know, I told God, you know, just lead me the way. Just make me walk. Just go. So it would take a little bit. And every time I would just turn, and there would be someone right there. I don't know why. It just made me turn. And turns out most of the people didn't believe in Jesus, and at the end they just said, yes, I believe in Jesus now, and I'm going to give him another shot. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that went on in just 4 days. The Christians that were speaking, you know, would always usually say, you know, don't come to us. You know, it's not us that are the powerful ones. It's Jesus. He's using us. You know, don't come to us and think that we're going to heal you. And, I mean, they were right, because Dan, one of the speakers, I have this problem in my leg for, 13 years. And he prayed for my leg. And, well, it didn't work. So I actually thought, you know, they're right. They're not the ones that are powerful. It's Jesus that decides when I'm cured. Maybe it's just not my right time yet. And so, I mean, there was a lot of people that prayed for me, and there was a lot of people that I prayed for. It just transformed my life, and now I'm really hungry. I didn't even want to leave. Actually, I remember someone told me that we were going to stay all day Saturday. And so I was excited on Saturday yesterday. I was going to go out with new people to go around Klamath Falls. And so it was after the first session. They were like, you know, oh, we're leaving. And I was like, no. You know, I was going to go out with new people and just, you know, share the gospel and all this. And they're like, no, we're leaving. And I told God, you know, well, these guys mentioned it. They were joking around. They were like,
I don't know if I was joking.
All right, maybe they weren't joking, but they were saying, you know, get a bus home. And at first I was a little hesitant, but then I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I will stay. And then I asked God, you know, if you want me to stay, then show me a bus station while we're going through this little part of the city that is left. Well, I'm here, so I'm pretty sure he didn't let me see one or something. And, yeah. So, I just loved being there. I'm just glad that he just changed my life. And now I can change Yakima. Now I can change the school. So I'm glad to go to school, because I didn't tell most of my peers where I was going. So one of my friends told me that everyone thinks I ran away, or everyone thinks I disappeared or something. And I'm going to come back, and instead of, you know, just being normal or just being low, I mean, they're going to be like, whoa, look at this guy. Where did he go? I want to go where he went. But I'm just excited now. I just can't wait.
Hey, let me tell you, Dennis. I want to tell you, you don't take them to a place. You take them to a person. You take them to Jesus. They don't have to go to Klamath Falls. They don't have to go to a Power and Love conference. What's inside of you is power and love. You receive God's love now. You just share it, and you'll watch greater things happen, I believe, than even what you saw there. Amen. Prophesy that over you.
Amen. Well, it is all about love. We serve a big God. And I know that there's a lot of us, well, probably every one of us, that have things that are experiencing life, because life happens. And it is true. And it's really all about love. It really is seeking first the kingdom of God. I want to try not to repeat everything everybody said, but it's about love, and it's about God first loving us, and it's about returning that love to him, and it's about making him priority. And then out of that, it's a product of love, and it's just love, and it's love. And me personally, God is, he's messing me up. And from a child who grew up with, I don't want to say I grew up without love, but I guess that's a way to explain it, for lack of a better term, is I didn't experience a lot of love growing up. And I'm sure many of you can share that, you know, that same experience. And it carries with you into adulthood, but not anymore. And I just realized how loving our Father is. And I realized that if he can change my heart, I feel like, you know, I'm 7-8 years saved, and I feel like I'm doing a Saul Paul experience, because Paul was, he was just a mess, you know. He recognized himself as, you know, the bottom of the totem pole, and yet he was doing some of the greatest things for God in that day. And God's love is just overwhelming, and it's powerful, and it's important to seek him first, and it's important to recognize who he's given you in your life and the abilities and the giftings. And so when you're out, and many times I'm sure a lot of you can agree that you've experienced a time or a thousand times where you're like, man, you just feel like I need that. There's somebody in your pathway at a store or a restaurant, and you're just beating on your heart. You know you want to say something, but you don't know what to say. Anybody been there before? I mean, yeah. And you're just like, oh, you know, I'm a failure. I didn't do it, you know. And you know what? If your priority is God, it's just going to come out. And like somebody shared, it's not you getting rejected. They're rejecting Jesus, really. At the end of it all, they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting us. But we have to be able to walk in that and understand that he created us to live in us. So he didn't create us to, hopefully we can make it through and we might this or we might that or we might have a good day. He created each one of us as a dwelling place for himself. And that put us in some massive perspective, because then it's not about you, and you don't go into this, and I don't know why I do this symbol every time, but this me trap, and you fall into the trap of me, me, me. So you're walking around and you can't minister to somebody, or you can't extend a greeting from the Lord or a prayer, because it's all about you. And you might get hurt, and you might be worried, you know, you might fall short, or you might be rejected, but it's not about us. And this conference itself, I mean, I enjoyed it tremendously, but I think more than that, I just enjoyed hanging out with these guys. I mean, I miss my wife and my kids a lot. Don't do that. I'm big and tough. I once was. But it's all about love. We're sitting here singing the song this morning, and you know, I never can remember the words, but at the time, it's like, what was the last song we sang? Anybody? There's like 100.
What?
Yeah, but the song, what does it say? What are the words? Yeah. Give me a chorus. Yeah, you found me just as I am, but alive in your hands. Keep going. Come on, singers. Do we just want to sing it? Yeah, forever I'm changed by your love. Yeah, and I'm just, and talked about what he's done for us, and I'm just going, I mean, I just fell apart because he's done so much. And I think before I was, I hate to say it, but I was blind to see a lot of it. And I'm sure I got a lot more to see, but it's all about his love. And that person sitting next to you, they're there for a reason. Your heart, it's beating for a reason. You're here for a reason. And it is. It's about God's love. Right, Nick? Yeah, it's about God's love. I just did that because I heard him talking, so sorry. But we did have a, we did go to Starbucks. Huh? Went to Starbucks. And I walked in there to, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And I'm like, yeah, so you hear the good news? To the barista. And she's like, what? Somebody's been here already, huh? You know, it's like the second session. Yeah, like 20 people already prayed for her. And she's like, ah. You know, but it you know, it created a way. And I didn't push it because that's not who I am. And that's the other thing that really God laid on my heart. This, you know, just that we're each unique and individual. And the way he creates us, he does, like he created me. There's never, ever going to be and never was a me, ever. And you can thank God for that in a good way. Unless you're my kids and they're in trouble, or you know, or my wife and you. No, I'm just joking. But we can be thankful that he created each one of us in a certain way. So we have a certain approach and a certain DNA and a certain setup about us. And so the way that he approaches somebody is not the way that I may approach them. And if I try to do it the way he does, I'm going to fail every time because that's not who I am. And so I learned, I was able to do that over the last few days and my approach, and it's much different. But God used it, and I got to touch people or allow God to touch people through me and just put a smile on people's face, and I love that. Who doesn't love making somebody smile? I mean, that's a big deal. So we're each individually unique, and God loves us, and he's just living through us, and he's doing something here, and there's new people here today. Welcome, by the way. I'm excited for you. You guys are awesome, and please... If you find it in your heart, come back. And this is a family. When I tell people everywhere, I say, man, it's hard to see this as a church. I get that there's a biblical definition of church and all that, and I get all that, but this is a family. And I don't look at it in the way of a church as maybe the world would see, like you come and and all that. I look at it like, man, we're connected, and I can look at each one of you, and if, you know, if something were to happen to either of us, I could say, I'll see you again. And I can say it with a heart full of joy, and I can look at you and tell you I love you, and I may not even know your name, but I tell you what, I mean it, okay? God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, guys. Praise God. We had an amazing time coming back. Yeah. It was, he got drunk in the Holy Ghost. That's the best way to put it, yeah. Yeah, and
for hours,
we were laughing, and David was driving, so he contained it a little bit, but... You know what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. I bet you feel like $1 million, right? You must be ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall, I bet. Praise God. Where's the wall? All right. Praise the Lord. I got a little bit to share for about, you know, 2 more hours. No, I'm kidding. No, hopefully it won't take very long. But let me just tell you. Yeah, I'm done. Let me just tell you what happened. This morning, I was preparing my heart just before the Lord. And I didn't know, you know, if I was going to share it all, and because, you know, we're going to have testimonies. So this, I hope this is quick, but this is so important, because I can tell you, anytime the Lord invades my natural with a word, I know it's something that he really wants to get across to us. So this is what happened. I'm getting in the shower, and a lot of things happen in the shower. You guys know I've got testimonies way back there from shower experiences. So he's never used this type of experience for, but I have all confidence I'm going to go home, and there's hot water now. But there was not hot water. And I don't know about you guys, but a lukewarm shower does not cut it. And so I'm sitting here, I'm like trying to get it full spread to see if, you know, maybe it'll finally get warm. So I had it down and maybe get warmer. It's like nothing was changing it. And so I'm in the shower, and I didn't even want to shave my head because it was that cold, you know. And I don't want to come out of the shower shivering. I want to come out of the shower feeling like, oh, you know, it's like I come out of a sauna, you know, where your mirrors, you have to get, something to wipe off. But when this happened to me, I felt the Lord say, and I'd been reading this a few weeks ago, felt the Lord say to me, lukewarm. And I said, oh, Lord, lukewarm. And I tell you, there was no better illustration for my flesh to receive that message than the way it happened this morning, because I did not want to take a shower. It was no joy in it. There was no pleasure. It was, unfortunately, the word was continued to be revealed to Gay when she took a shower, and I didn't think she even got it even as warm as I did. But listen to this. This is a message that I've been looking at over again through the eyes as a son, because I would read the Bible before and I would read it through the eyes of a slave and the eyes of a servant and the eyes of somebody that was just trying. I was like I shared a couple weeks ago, I'm the prodigal son who stayed home. I'm working in the field. Lord, do you see what I'm doing? Do you see, you know, and I love you, but I'm working hard for you, but no really understanding how much he loves me. And so I've been going back through scriptures that I always kind of looked at as, oh man, God's stomping on them now. And I realized that God does not stomp on anybody. If he sends somebody to hell, he's weeping as he does it. And if they reject him, the place where they go, he's not sitting there going, see what you got. I believe his heart breaks for every person that can't stay in his presence. His love, I mean, I'm starting to understand his love. His love is violent. His love will break through walls that have built up for years, and people think that they finally got him where he can't penetrate, and he'll bust through those walls. He'll tear them down. He'll use his own being to bust through them to let them see the light of his love coming into their life. So listen to this. Listen to this as someone as is receiving this from someone that loves you instead of somebody that is violent and ready to just, well, as this sounds violent, what he wants to do, this is an act of love. And what I'm trying to tell you today is that our lukewarm is not acceptable. Our lukewarm is not comfortable to the world. They don't like it. If I could explain how bad that felt, it's like I just wanted to get out of there. And when we're lukewarm as Christians, people just want to get out of us. They don't want to deal with us. They don't want to have to interact with us, because lukewarm is nasty. And Jesus is not upset at their lukewarmness just for them alone. It's for what they're doing to everyone else. And so there is an obligation for us to get on fire. And the beauty of it is, it's just receiving him. He's already there. The fire is already there. We just got to let it burn. So listen to this. The angel of the church, this is Revelation 3:14, for those of you who are interested. And the angel of the to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things. Say the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, I always read that as a slave, and I read that as he's judging me for my terribleness, and I didn't measure up, or, you know, these people didn't measure up. And it was just like a side of God that I looked at as, I had just, lack of better term, tyrant. And we didn't make it in his sight, and so he's vomiting us out. Now, from the heart of a son, I see now that it's the fact that I'm hurting his other brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, his other children in this state. This is not so much just about me, this is about others. Because of his love for everyone else, he can't handle me being lukewarm. He can't handle me being neither cold nor hot. Now, cold, you don't know him, and he can work with that. Why? Because you don't know him, so he can reveal himself to you. When you're hot, you're close to him. You're seeing his face. You're seeing the love of him. You're seeing how precious you are to him. And you want to please him. And you live a life surrendered and yielded. And not following rules and regulations, but just in relationship, honoring him with your life. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. Willingly, though, not because he's telling you, if you don't do this, I'm going to stomp on you, but it's an act of love back to him because of the love he's shown to you. Excuse me a second. So listen to this. It says, and so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's where I was. I was at the place where you start to think that you're spiritually, and you know, I've gone through this stage different ways, but it's like you start to think that you're figuring it out, you're getting it, you're starting to understand it. And even those of us who came back from this conference, we can start to think that way again. You can get to the place where, okay, now I know it's soul winning, and it's like, and you can make that again a place where you're taking away his grace from your life because you're starting to move in your own strength. It's all about humility, brokenness, never arriving. Like Josh said, it's about basically saying, I am the least of the least. That's what we should all say. I'm the least of the least. Well, how could you be the least of the least if you're the least of the least? Don't figure it out. Just say that that's the heart that we need to have. God, I'm just so thankful for what you've done for me. Grateful hearts. Blessed that you're even able to be part of the kingdom of God. Do you see the dynamics of a heart that starts to think, or a life that starts to think, it's getting together, we're dressed, we're warm, things are good, is when you start to go lukewarm. That's when the water faucets get messed up. It's when the valve somewhere or the thermostat isn't firing. I don't know what it is in the house. I didn't have time to look for it this morning. And who knows, if I get home it's hot, I'm gonna say that was just all you, God. And the point being is that when we think that we've got it all together, be careful. That's when we probably are the worst off. When we think we have it all together. So, you're looking at somebody who's never going to have it all together. I'm never going to know it all. Never going to have all the answers. Never going to be, you know, in the full power that I'm never going to arrive. And I pray that that is your heart, that you never arrive. And that you're never satisfied with slowing down the journey because you think, well, it's okay now, I can kind of coast here into this next port. No, there's no coasting. Fire, passion. So listen to what he says here. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with salve, that you may see. Buy. How can we buy anything from God? Well, you know what? The beauty of God is whatever he has for sale is free. Except for us saying, I have to purchase this from you. I've got to get your righteousness because my righteousness are filthy rags. You know, I cannot do this on my own. I have to totally rely on you, God. Then it says here that we would have our eyes washed with salve. I tried to look at that salve. It's like an ointment. And it means that our eyes, I believe, spiritually can get to the place where, like, you know how you get an eye that maybe starts to close up on you and you can barely see, or I mean, call them spiritual glasses, whatever it is. God, bring in something so that we can see clearly again. These are desperate times that we live in. And desperate times call for desperate measures. This is not a time to coast. This is not a time to sit there and look at the clock and say, well, what's Pastor Mike doing? Still preaching at 12:00? This is a time to say, you know what? I have to realize today is the day. Today is the day for me to say, yes, God, fire. Yes, God, burn in me. Yes, God, do what you need to do in this vessel so that I can be a vessel of honor, so you don't spew me out, so that others around me enjoy being around me, because not because of me, but because I've allowed you to burn in me. I'm hot. I always thought hot had to do with me reading the Bible enough, praying enough, you know, all these things, you know. And once I got through the Bible the first time, oh, I think I'm starting to get hot here. You know, it's been years since I'd read all the way through the Bible. And I made it all the way through the Bible. And all of a sudden, you know, I knew more. I was able to communicate better. And it's like, I thought, well, have you read the Bible? No. Well, you need to read the Bible to be like me. And so that's what I thought was hot. That's not hot at all, guys. You know what hot is? Hot is falling on your face, crying out to God and saying, I am nothing without you. It does not matter what I know, does not matter how many times I read the Bible, does not matter when I got saved or, you know, if I've even got saved, falling on our face and saying, I need you. That's fire. It's not going to Klamath Falls for 4 days. It's not hanging around the altar on Sunday morning, even though that is great, that's not fire. Fire is falling on our face, falling on our in our hearts. If you can't fall on your face physically, it's your heart being bent over to God saying, I can't do this without you. I am nothing without you. Without you, I will amount to nothing. It's being able to look, put those glasses on. What do you think when they put those, or they use the salve, they saw their condition. Oh my goodness. Compared to God, I'm naked and I'm wretched and I need him to do something in me. This is a message for today. We have to realize that as many as I love, he says. This is about love. I never read that before. I always said, yeah, boo out. And it was a great preach because you got people like, oh man, God's really mad if I don't do this. But that's not it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What kind of father would it be if he would not correct his children? Or a mother, if they did not correct their children. They just let them run wild in the streets, never giving them any ground rules for life that helps them grow up safe, healthy, with some wisdom, some counsel, maybe some common sense. It's a real short commodity nowadays. So, you know what I'm saying? What kind of father would it be? So when God is saying this here, he's saying it as a loving father. Jesus is saying it as a loving brother. He's not saying, I'm so ticked at you, I'm going to spew you out. Yeah, that sounds violent, and it is a violent action. But I don't believe I always thought he spews us out and we're done. No, I believe he's spewing us out so maybe we can just realize, I need Jesus. See, everything God does is in love. I'm going to reread through the Old Testament. I'm going to say, you did that because of love. I always say it used to be through the filter of Jesus, and that's true. But the filter of Jesus is love. It's love. And listen, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous, that's hot, and repent. Repent means just change your mind. Today, walk out of these doors and say, you know what, God? Help me change my mind. I don't even know how to change my mind. Pastor Mike said some things made some sense. These men said some things that made sense. But you know what? I'm kind of clueless about this. Just say, God, I'm clueless. Teach me. Lead me. Father me. That's an expression that I heard. I'd never heard that before as God. Father me. Now, I'd always had the Holy Spirit guide me, lead me, be a friend. But how about father me? Father me means, you know, looks you in the eye and says, son, you're doing that. You're not quite being who I want you to be. Let God father you. Let God just take you by the hand and lead you through this life because he wants to. He does not want you to have to do this on your own. He wants to lead you. He wants to take that checkerboard that you've been playing and he wants to make it so it's not even a game anymore. It's just covered in the blood. You don't even have to mess with those things ever again. What good news is that? I just preach good news. I used to preach that message and people, oh, rejection, fear, all this. This does not have to be a fearful message. This can be a message to lift you up, encourage you, and let you know that God is for you, not against you. And that he wants you hot so that those around you can receive truly who he is. As he's a good God. And his love, like I said, is violent. It will do what it has to do. Just let's receive him like he wants us to receive him. And if we do that, I believe that you will not be able to in Yakima be able to hold the people that will want to be gathering together, worshiping him in fellowship, in love, in family, because we're good to be around. Because see, when those hot ones get around, or those cold ones get around the hot, they start to get hot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will add this. I want to let you know that you guys are amazing. You don't hear that enough. I mean, unless you go to like some kind of, you know, positive thinking deal, or maybe a really good, really good Christian conference. But you are amazing, because you know why? An amazing God lives inside of you. Amen. An amazing God lives inside of you. And if you gave him the opportunity, he would amaze you with what he would allow you to do through him. So I encourage you guys, step out of your comfort zone. I had a testimony. I was sitting with a couple brothers at the table, and I looked over and I said, oh, God's doing it again. It's like this person kind of lights up, and I said, that guy kind of lighted up over there to me. I said, I don't know. He's with someone, you know. And you start, you know, trying to reason these things. We were at, you know, KFC. Forgive me, babe. KFC. MSG is their secret ingredient. So anyway, she's allergic to MSG. But anyway, so I went over and I started talking to him. I found out that they were just basically, because I just said, I just want to let you know, God just loves you. And I mean, there's just something about you that he's well pleased with. And his wife goes, oh, that's great. We were just talking about that. Awesome. They were both Christians. So I found out that their church was going through. They were just talking to their pastor on the way to church, on the way to KFC. And they ended up telling me that they were going through some difficulties, kind of some upheaval with leadership there. So I prayed for them and blessed them. And we got back to our seat and we left. And no, I think we left, actually. And then later on, I found out from Glenn, actually, that he said when he sat down, he saw that man over there, and he felt like maybe there was something wrong in his heart, and like some, you know, rejection. So I think he was picking up in the spirit that same thing. And so, you know what? God can lead and guide us, direct us into all truth, but he can lead and guide us and direct us into those who need the truth and those who need the love of God. Amen. See, I didn't take too long. Keep him at the front of your life. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you. Nick, maybe you can come tinkle. I don't think those are ivories, but whatever they are. What? Plastic? Are they plastic? I'm not sure. The keys there. Plastic can be pretty good nowadays. But Lord, we thank you, God, that you, Lord, even in our lukewarm state, love us. Even when we're not sure, God, about just yielding everything over to you and being this zealous person, God. But I pray, Lord, that minds would change today. The mind would even change even more, Lord, than what it has up to this point. God, that you paid the highest price. You proved it. You proved how much you love us, Lord, with your very life. So Lord, I pray, God, that we would live lives, Lord, as very expensive vessels, God, that we would not sell short the value that we are to you and to this lost and dying world. And I pray right now, Lord, that the anointing of God would rest upon your people as they leave today. And Lord, I pray that the empowerment of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and they'd walk in your love, they'd walk in your power, and that lives would never be the same, God, that come in contact with them. Pray they would no longer see themselves, Lord, as anything less than you see them. That the fire of God would burn in us as your people so hot that either people want to run away from us because we're too hot, or they're drawn to the fire because it's warming their heart and their soul, and they're coming alive to God. And thank you for this day. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, sorry.
Just real quick, I want to remind the ladies, 5 o'clock tonight, next Sunday, 9:30 is the water baptism class, and youth, this Wednesday is the drop-in at our house, at 7 o'clock. Invite a friend. God bless everyone. Choir practice is directly following this service, everyone.